Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
As close as I could find to a song related to Crisco. So when he sings Cisco, you sing Crisco.
You sing Crisco.
Yeah. It is 12:27 WGN, and welcome in our food show, Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show, is on the air. Today, talking Crisco for a variety of reasons. I think this actually is going to be a legitimately very interesting segment to talk about this age-old cooking ingredient that people are still using. What are your best recipes that incorporate good old-fashioned Crisco in them, and why you would never in a million years think of changing? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Scott, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, morning, Dean. Actually, I'm sure a lot of your listeners, especially if they listen to your Food Time segment, probably watched Alton Brown on Good Eats. And he's got a whole one whole show on how to fry. And Crisco, surprisingly, is not as bad as people think. If you do it right, you have to get the temperature right, make sure it's 375. And then he did this analysis where, you know, how much oil is actually absorbed by, like, say, fried chicken. And it's almost nothing, like a teaspoon. And Crisco really, at that amount, is not that bad. And the other cool thing about Crisco, which he pointed out, is because it doesn't break down like regular, if you were to use, like, corn oil. So your kitchen won't stink. And he's right. And that's how I make my fried chicken.
You make it, and your kitchen doesn't smell like,
it doesn't smell like the old fried oil.
Yeah.
And then just pan fried chicken, whatever, just flour dip, no batter, and cast iron skillet, and melt some Crisco. And
how much Crisco are you putting in your cast iron pan?
I think basically it depends on what you're frying, but for instance, you can basically just make it come up. Like if you're frying chicken breasts, for instance, or chicken thighs, whatever, make it come up half the weight of the chicken. So
right.
Not that much.
Okay.
Then you can, if you want to, you can reuse it. But yeah, it's really true. It doesn't stink up your kitchen and tastes great.
Yeah, that was, boy, are you bringing back the memories for me? Because my mom used to use Crisco all the time.
Yeah, my grandma too.
Yeah, and we had a container right by the kitchen sink where she would strain it, pour it in, and it always got reused again.
That's right. My grandma had one for Crisco and one for bacon grease.
Bacon grease.
That's, seriously, you got two coffee cans actually.
Yeah.
Yep. We didn't die, so I'm doing okay.
Yeah, and I'll bet that chicken is now. Do you notice a difference in the taste though? Assume that you must have fried chicken and some other oils.
Yeah, taste-wise, not. Fried chicken. How can you go wrong?
True. Especially with the flour batter that you're talking. I'm not a huge fan of the wet batters. I just like a flour batter, salt, pepper, and the flour batter, and it's a nice light fried chicken if the temperature is
absolutely.
Right.
Yep, exactly. Temperature's right. And just maybe a little paprika for color, maybe a little cayenne if you want a little heat.
A little spicy, right? Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing bad about Crisco. I mean, don't do it every day.
Everything in moderation.
Absolutely.
I want to give you a pair of tickets to this Potted Potter show. I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that. That'd
okay. Well, good, because this is it's a parody. Takes all seven of the Harry Potter books, combines it down into 70 minutes. It's at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. And I've got a pair of tickets for the February 2nd show. We're going to set you up with those, Scott.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you for the call, and we'll get to some more Crisco recipes in just a second. A quick update of news, and then right back to the phones. It's Crisco Palooza today.
Crisco, Crisco Party. I've got a brand new party where you really scream. Crisco.
having a Crisco party, everybody. I think that may have had a slightly different meaning back in the day.
Yeah.
1238.
You know, I remember my mom had Crisco.
A Crisco party?
She used it to cook with all the time.
Yeah.
Did
she save it? Reuse it?
No. Grandma had bacon grease. I heard one of our callers talking about that earlier. Grandma used bacon grease, but my mom never did.
My mom saved the bacon grease and saved the Crisco.
Your mother did?
Yep.
Bacon grease?
Yep.
Wow.
Strain it.
Mm-hmm.
Poured it into
a coffee can.
That was right by the sink.
And it would solidify, and then she would use it for cooking.
Yeah, and hey, four boys in the house. Yeah, nobody's going to play with that.
No.
It's like an open invitation. And, you know, little Dean being the youngest one, you know I always wound up with Crisco in my hair. Maybe what happened to my hair. I don't know. It was a Crisco party. That's what we were having. That's what it was.
What group is this?
This is a group called George Washington and the Cherry Bombs.
Okay.
It's a Crisco party. Jason, you are on WGN.
Hey, Dean, I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
For doing it.
Thank you.
And your reviews as well. So, anyway, so I ended up finding myself as a single father, and I have two girls, and was trying to figure out something for us to do, so I got into pie making. Ooh. And now I'm very much a novice, but I think that if anyone out there is a novice, you'll find that if you're looking to do a double crust, and I was told from a friend of mine, I was struggling with just using butter, you know, sugar, flour, that combination, but it would constantly flake apart. And I would try different mixtures of water to flour, and I couldn't get it right. So a friend of mine said, look, if you're just starting out, why don't you try using Crisco? Put it in there. It's not going to hurt you. You know, do it in a small amount,
right.
Not eating pies every day. And I did. And it completely allowed me to take the frustration out of
it. It was life-changing. It was life-changing.
Right, exactly. Right. So
really did you completely replace butter, just 100% Crisco, or you mixed it together, you mean?
I did a mixture of both. Now, I'm sure that, you know, professional bakers probably already are listening on the phone going, oh, God. You know, but if you're starting out, you know, and you want to do something fun and not frustrate yourself.
Sure.
The Crisco can really help. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure the girls must have had a great time. What a great idea that is.
Thank you. Yeah.
And so what is your pie specialty? I'm hoping apple.
So love apple. Cherry's always up there, too.
Oh, cherry's.
But yeah, I mean, and, you know, if you're a single father, look, before I became a single father, I hardly ever cooked. And all of a sudden, I cook all the time. And, you know, pie baking, if you're looking for something to do with your kids, it's always a great thing to get into.
That is so fantastic. I mean, we're joking around with this a little bit. But I think that's a wonderful story of finding something to do with your kids, especially as a single father. This is not the kind of thing, you know, traditionally I think you would think a single father would do with his kids. But what a great idea that is. And that you obviously are enjoying it yourself.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, and I'll never forget the first Thanksgiving that we had. My oldest daughter was like, well, Dad, are we going to do a turkey? And I didn't know how to do anything. So I did, though. I went out, I got the turkey, a bunch of YouTube videos, a couple of my friends. And you're right, a lot of men don't do this. I relied upon my female friends, and I don't mean to get into the battle of the sexes by any means, but I did. And I, you know, reached out via Facebook and said, hey, you know, how do you keep your pies out? I just did the research, and it got into a thing where I actually started eating healthier and dropped a bunch of weight.
Good.
And it wasn't, you know, I don't just make pies, obviously, but cooking became it became a part of our life. And our
I'm the pie king of Chicago. Yeah.
Right, yeah, I'm far from that. But anyway, but getting back to the Crisco thing, yeah, if you're looking for texture, just to, you know, it does help with
texture
that.
Texture and consistency. Wow, Jason, that's a fantastic story. I want to send you a $25 gift certificate from Lou Malnati's Pizza.
So that's great.
You can take a night off of cooking and you and the girls can enjoy. That's a fantastic story. Hang on for a quick second here. Thelma, hi, you're on WGN. Thelma, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
How are you, Thelma?
Fine, and so enjoying your program. I don't know what I'd do if you ever stopped radio.
Aren't you nice? Oh, you're so nice. Thank you very much.
I really love it. My favorite is using the butter-flavored Crisco to saute my lake perch. I love lake perch.
Me too.
And you don't want to deep fry it. You want to just saute it in a little, you know, vat. After I use seasoned flour with a little onion powder, garlic powder, paprika, and then saute it in that. And I could just actually eat my weight in Lake Perch if I could. And another thing, why don't they use mineral oil in wherever that is they're doing the light poles with in Philadelphia?
That seems to be a little more biodegradable, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be like, you know, because the Crisco is also going to draw rats, isn't it?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. Or you know, why not some kind of oil that's not edible at all? I guess mineral oil kind of falls in that. But why wouldn't you put like, I don't know, motor oil might be a little severe, but something that's, you know, non-edible, something that's not going to get rancid and draw animals and varmints and birds and all that sort of thing.
Right, because the mineral oil is not going to really turn rancid before the rain, you know.
Right. Right, exactly. So what else when you're making your the lake perch, what are you battering your perch with?
With the light coating of flour with onion powder in it and garlic powder and paprika.
Yeah,
and just shake most of it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, the butter-flavored Crisco has the flavor of butter and the taste of butter without burning.
Okay.
And I used to do it in butter, and once in a while I'll maybe stick a few tablespoons in there, but it burns quickly. But, you know, it only takes about 3 or 4 minutes to, you know, fry a little bit of Lake Perch because they're small.
They're so thin, right, yeah.
Right, but they are just so tasty and sweet when you use the butter-flavored Crisco.
I'm telling you, these batters, people use these heavy egg batters panko crumbs and, you know, and egg batters and all that, and it's so thick you can barely taste the actual chicken or fish or whatever, yeah.
Right, it slides off the food.
Yeah,
I prefer using just a light coating of, you know, the flour.
Yeah.
And actually, if you use Wondra flour, it doesn't stick as much, so that it's still coated, but it doesn't
super
give
light.
You those little, it doesn't give it those globs.
Right, it's super light, yeah. Wondra is great for making gravies, too, because it doesn't clump up as much.
Right, or adding to anything, yeah.
Thelma,
yeah.
Thank you so much. That was a wonderful...
From Peoria, so we listen to you down here.
Well, we love you. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. We're going to take a quick break and get back to more of this. This is turning out to be a fantastic segment. We're geniuses here. For this. Okay. It's a pretty good segment, though. I got to admit, very interesting. Ann is on 312-981-7200. Ann, you are vocalizing a big debate that's going on our text line right now. Vegetable shortening Crisco versus what?
Lard.
Lard. You think?
Lard. My mom did pies. We had when we'd get together with my aunts, she'd make the pies because they loved her pies. And she's nothing but lard. My aunt's daughters my aunt was her sister. They tried other types of shortening for their crust, and they never tasted as good. And they had a bake off one Sunday where they tried Crisco, they tried oil, they tried a whole bunch of different things. And they did one pie of lard with the lard crust, and they said it was twice as good as the
Crisco
or the other types of shortening.
Yeah.
And my grandmother is the one that started us out on lard, and the one aunt that I was telling you about that her daughters tried the other types of shortening and then the lard, their father was a butcher. So he would home render lard in a huge vat when he did pork, and he would actually stay out there for a whole day and stir that vat full of lard, and cracklings were which weren't the lard, like the skin and the pieces of meat.
Skim them off, and, right, yeah.
Yes, yeah, you drain them off, and you make a cake-type thing, and you would form it into a cake, and then he would give it to us to enjoy. And
how about
I just
that?
I thought I'd tell the listeners about the lard.
Yeah, no, a lot of people are texting in and saying the same thing that you are, that they like to use lard, which is interesting because it's such an old school cooking technique. But it's rendered pork fat.
Right. I would think that's what it is. I think I'm right, because I don't think you'd get the same flavor from beef.
Yeah, which is interesting, though, because rendered pork fat, I guess, must lose its flavor, because that seems odd to use it in a pie, though, right? So pork fat in a pie, but apparently it works.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because my mom was 78 when she died. My aunt was 90. My grandmother was 90.
Wow.
And all of them used the lard. They learned that that was the way to do it. And they weren't wealthy people, because they came over from immigrants, like what Mr. Trump is saying. They came over from Italy and didn't have much money.
Yeah, right, so right. No, that's what... Right,
all the things that they're
used, reused. Yeah, used and reused, like a lot of people did.
And just like recipes, I have to laugh when they say use a tablespoon of this or a teaspoon of that. They wouldn't do that. They would put together the recipe, and they'd use a pinch and taste it. If it didn't taste right,
right,
add a pinch of this more. You know,
right.
So it was a learning experience.
Yeah,
it was like a lot of this.
My mother still cooks like that. I've asked her, can you write down the recipe for this or that? And she goes, no, I can't write it down, because I know from the feel. I know how to eyeball it, but I don't know if that's a quarter teaspoon or a half, or, you know, to write it down and give you a precise measurement. And she said, why don't you just taste it and then decide? So I guess just good old common sense. Ann, thank you for the call. Todd, hi, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon, rather.
All the time.
Thank you.
Listen, it's not a recipe, but I haven't bought Crisco in years. And yesterday, I used it to season a new cast iron skillet I got for Christmas.
Oh.
It is the best thing to use. And in fact, they say you should only use Crisco, solid vegetable shortening.
Why do they say that? Because it absorbs better into the pan when you're seasoning it?
Yep. In fact, I did one once with olive oil, and it just doesn't work as well. But it, you know, you get that. My grandmother used to do that. My mom did, you know, seasons her cast iron skillets all with Crisco.
Right, right. Yeah, a very, very old school that way. And I guess, I mean, you know, the seasoning, for people that don't know, when you get a new pan, especially cast iron pans that are so popular again, they're such great utensils to use in the kitchen. But when you get one, you're supposed to heat it up. And then, in your case, put the Crisco in it and just let it kind of absorb into the pan and wipe it clean. And that's how you kind of keep the pan clean in future uses, right?
And it, oh my gosh, and yeah, bake it for an hour. You bake it for an hour
right.
at like 350, 400 degrees. And you get that patina on there, and it just cleans up so easily. Nothing sticks. It's the best stuff to use.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? All these old school things are, you know,
right.
come back and they're so popular again. Todd, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And we're going to get Tim in here real quick before we wind up. Tim, what's your story?
You guys are the greatest. And you're a bright light on a usually dull weekend radio.
No, thank you. That's very nice of you.
I'm a fisherman, and I always cook the fish I catch. And Thelma kind of stole my thunder, because I discovered butter-flavored Crisco, and it's fantastic. The difference in flavor is unbelievable.
I've never had it. I'm going to have to give it a try. I don't think I've used Crisco in my house in 30 years. somebody texted in and said that they have a can of Crisco in their pantry, and they're going to go check, but they're pretty sure that the expiration date is 1974 on it.
So I put the egg and the panko and then deep fry it in the butter flavored Crisco, and the difference is just unbelievable.
Oh man, those good old fashioned fish fries. Nothing better than that.
Don't make French fries in it. It did not taste good.
Didn't work with the fries. Okay. All right.
I thought French fries would be good too, but it wasn't.
I think I would have tried the same thing. Good fish fry tip though, Tim. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend.